Jason, for once, the Bears weren't Charlie Brown whiffing on the football. They were the ones doing the pulling away of the football.
Woo, boy!
Oh, my God. The Bears win 25-24 in Vegas. We'll talk about that and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, we are sitting in Allegiant Stadium, a beautiful place, by the way, staring at an empty field. A beautiful thing. And right about at the yard line, where you and I are sitting right now, is where Daniel Carlson lined up to try a 54-yard field goal with 40 seconds or so left to try to beat the Bears. And if you have followed the Bears for any amount of time, you could probably fill in the blanks, which is, and then they broke the Bears' hearts and the Bears went home sad. That's not what happened this time.
And that's the point. We'll get into, and there will be time for us and for Ben Johnson and for the world to dissect, you know, big picture, what is this for the Bears? It wasn't a great offensive performance, all this other stuff. But zero in on just Sunday. And if you've watched the Bears for the last 40 years, like I have, man, there's been so many of these games that end in heartbreak. The Bears are the wrong team all the time in these amazing finishes. Like last year, they get a field goal blocked against Green Bay. They have the fail Mary. The Bears are always that team that someone else is having their season-defining, fantastic victory against, but not Sunday. And it felt so much like it was headed there because of all the PTSD from watching Bears games for so long. And for Josh Blackwell to come screaming, A, Caleb Williams gets the chance he wants on a bad day for him and the offense, gets the ball down 5, 6 minutes left. A little, all his timeouts and, you know, a little better than the classic Philip Rivers down 4, 50 seconds left, no timeouts that I feel like was every game of his Chargers career. Caleb Williams gets the chance he wants and the Bears move down the field and score the go-ahead touchdown with no help. Right. There was no, they went 70 yards. There was no turnover or anything that helped them, that gave it to them like they had gotten all day. And DeAndre Swift, of all people, who has not had a good day and who we all along have this kind of suspicion of whether he's really a good fit for Ben Johnson, he's the guy that powers into the end zone, getting the ball twice inside the 7. And then, of course, the Raiders come down because they've been moving the field, moving down the field all day against the Bears defense. And they didn't have to get that far because they've got a really good kicker in Daniel Carlson. And they're lining up for that 54-yard field goal to win it. And you're thinking, like, man, there's just, this is how this ends.
And he's a great kicker. So, you know, you're sitting there going, he's probably not going to miss it. First of all, it took them 4 plays to get in the field goal range. That's probably less than ideal.
Bam, bam, bam.
Bam, bam, bam. He's there, and you're sitting there, if you're a Bears fan, and going, okay, maybe we'll have, you know, 30-some-odd seconds to try and kick our own field goal. But you look at the sideline, Cairo Santos, he's got a quad injury. He's literally using the Theragun on himself. He didn't handle the kickoffs for the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they sent the punter in.
So yeah, so you're wondering, oh my God, you know, do we have a chance to match if they make it? You know, how is this going to break my heart today? And then here comes Josh Blackwell. Blackwell lines up. I'm sure you've seen it by now, but for the sake of being a completist here, Jason, lines up on the far outside right edge. Jaquan Brisker engages the blocker at the end. And the blocker, by the way, a defensive tackle, which is a little weird. Brisker engages him. That gives Blackwell a clear shot. He sprints through, does the Superman leap in front of where the ball is going to get kicked, and blocks it. And, Jason, I love this detail, and I won't bog us down with it for too long.
I don't know. This is the behind-the-scenes stuff that I think people want to know.
Every week, Richard Hightower gives his specialists a homework assignment.
Richard Hightower, who, by the way, you listening to this, never think about.
Right.
Until something like this happens.
Yeah, he's like a baseball umpire. If you know his name, that usually doesn't mean things are going
well. There's no way my dad knows the name of the Bears special teams coordinator.
Right. So Hightower gives his specialist a scouting report or a homework assignment, and it's this. Give me a scouting report on the guy we're about to face who plays your position. So Cairo does one on the kicker. Torrey Taylor does one on the punter.
That's smart.
And Scott Daly does one on the long snapper. And Scott Daly, the Bears long snapper, is watching film and figures out that right before he snaps the ball, he kind of twists it a little bit. So if you were going to line or to try to time up a kick, he found the tell to when you know exactly, all right, he's up just about to snap it. So he presents this to the room. The Bears talk about it all week. And as they're lining up to kick the ball, Hightower is talking to Ben Johnson in his headset saying, Josh Blackwell's going to get this kick. And he got it. That's a pretty cool way to do it. And I think it shows you that for as much as we talk about Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson and, you know, DeAndre Swift, and those guys matter more than most, that what the long snapper's what, the 52nd, 53rd guy on the roster?
Yeah.
Josh Blackwell, as much as he's beloved by his teammates and by people who know football, probably the 40th most popular person among Bears fans. And they both contributed to pulling this one out of the fire and getting the Bears to 2-2 as they go into the bye week.
Let's talk about Josh Blackwell for just a minute, because he's such a good story.
Love it. Yep.
And I know you talked to him after the game, so I want to hear what he had to say about all this. Josh Blackwell was undrafted out of Duke in 2022. And if you remember, that year was a burn down year for the Bears. He ended up actually with the Eagles, but it was the year where the Bears were tearing down their roster. They had so little talent and they were taking lottery tickets. They claimed like six guys mm-hmm. off waivers the day after cut day, right? Was it six?
Seven.
It set the NFL record. There had never been a team in such bad shape roster wise that they claimed that many guys in August. Josh Blackwell was one of them. And Josh Blackwell climbed. He didn't climb to the place where you really, a lot of you probably have heard his name a lot, but Josh Blackwell is a nickel corner who I have thought for the last few years is a starting level nickel corner, just happens to be playing behind Kyler Gordon. Got a contract extension, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yes. And then the new defensive coordinator comes in this year. Josh Blackwell's fourth season with the Bears, and he's had so much positive momentum and good trajectory for his career. And Dennis Allen, for whatever reason, not the biggest fan of Josh Blackwell. Likes Nick McCloud better, so Nick McCloud's been playing for Kyler Gordon. Josh Blackwell, pretty much exclusively special teams. And the Bears, thank goodness for them that he's still here. What was he like after the game?
Happy, obviously. His teammates were thrilled for him. He's one of those guys that is loved by the guys.
Everybody likes him. Super nice guy, too.
And, you know, he had a quote, Jason, that I just love. The narrative, says Josh Blackwell, the narrative is that the Bears can't finish out games that are close.
The track record is that, I think.
Yes. I think this team is different. And I went and I counted at least three games in the last calendar year or so that had those heartbreaking finishes. You had the fail Mary, you had the Packers blocking the field goal try, and then you had the Bears blowing an 11-point lead on Monday Night Football.
Just
3 weeks ago. So the narrative's there for a reason. It's well earned. But, you know, Ben Johnson had made this a talking point to the guys all week that the world doesn't think we can win close games. They went through and won a close game. I love the Blackwell story for this reason, Jason. Every time that there is the big waiver palooza mm-hmm. at the end of training camp, I like to scream to anybody who'll listen that the guys that they claim usually don't matter. Josh Blackwell is the best waiver claim they've had in 5 years. And kind of like a Rule 5 guy in baseball, you just love to see guys getting an opportunity through a quirk of the rules. And then making the best.
He's a guy that I thought would start if Kyler Gordon was out, and I still think could be a starter for somebody as a nickel corner. I mean, he's a very good player. Can we talk about Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think both of them, if we just look at this on the surface, you're not going to be impressed. If you didn't watch the game, because who knows, maybe you're out enjoying the great weather or whatever, and you're just looking at the stats, you're like, well, Caleb Williams, 73.3 passer rating, not great. Ben Johnson coaches an offense that averages 4 yards per play. They had 90 total yards of offense at halftime. Running game just, like, didn't exist. Where's that? That is 2.7 yards per rush.
Were you aware the Raiders averaged 5 more yards per rush than the Bears did? That's unreal.
And on the other side, Ashton Jeanty ran for more yards on one play than he had ever run for in a game. Mm-hmm. He had a 64-yard touchdown run. But if you're looking at the kind of bottom line on Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, it's not very impressive.
Yeah.
Unless you're looking at the bottom line, which is that they did enough to win.
Yeah, that's the top line.
They really did enough to win. Caleb Williams was not having any kind of good game. He was very bad in the first half. Not all of that is his fault. Mm-hmm. Their Raiders pass rush was just back there all day. Most notably, Max Crosby. You can't talk about this game without saying Max Crosby. Caleb Williams is going to, for the rest of the week, probably just kind of be checking around real vigilantly to make sure Max Crosby's not still chasing him.
He's going to go to the kitchen to get a sandwich and be peeing around the door.
Yeah, he's going to, like, Caleb Williams is going to walk into his kitchen, Pat, and he's going to be like, Max,
hello.
If you're in here, you have to tell me.
Yeah. Don't intercept me or force a fumble of mine again.
Caleb Williams had a 47 passer rating in the first half, a 111 in the second half. He was on the final drive, 4 for 5 passing. I forget the yardage now, like 40 yards or something like that. And 2 scrambles totaling 18 yards. Did everything that you would want him to do at the end. And throughout was very steady. And this is an area where Caleb Williams needs to grow, not because he's immature, not because he's petulant or whatever, but I don't think Caleb Williams has been through a ton of what he went through last year, where things look bleak early in a game and they stay bleak, and you're the guy everyone's looking at. And that's probably a little more true now that he's not a rookie. And he was talking about maintaining his composure, not just for the other 10 guys on the field, but for the whole team, that he wants the whole team to look at him and see that he's not having bad body language. He's not screaming at teammates or coaches. He's not giving up. He's not dejected, frustrated. He's still in the fight. So he hopes that that will translate to them still being in the fight. And one of the issues on the field that Caleb Williams has had has been holding the ball too long in the pocket, not adapting very well to the sped up clock in the NFL. Today it was sped up even more because Max Crosby was just everywhere. Let me just say Max Crosby, Max Crosby, Max Crosby, so that by the end of this, we have given him his due and said his name 14 times in here. Caleb Williams was in disbelief afterward, and I'm sure in the moment, about the interception Max Crosby had against him. That Max Crosby lined up at the right to Caleb's right at defensive end and somehow ends up over the center, Drew Dahlman, leaping to deflect Caleb's pass over the middle. When do you ever see a defensive end deflect a pass over the middle?
And then catch it.
And then he catches it for the interception. That's in the red zone, by the way. And that's following to open the game for Caleb Williams in the offense, a 3-and-out. But Caleb Williams made plays at the end. He kept his head in the game. He kept his composure. He made plays at the end. DeAndre Swift had key runs at the end. And Ben Johnson tried everything he could. This was such a test of Ben Johnson, not only as a strategist, but as a leader.
Yeah.
Because Ben Johnson is digging deep, trying to figure out something to fix the offense and something to deal with Max Crosby and everybody else, because Max Crosby was the main problem. But the Raiders pass rush, I felt like every play, well, we were sitting there at Allegiant Stadium next to each other, and I think they had a play where they gained like 5 or 6 yards or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it just looked like it took everything for that to work. I mean, it was scratching and clawing. And Ben Johnson is benching Braxton Jones, which that's there's a guy who is not going to have a good bye week. That's not good for him.
It's hard to come back from.
He benches Braxton Jones. He moves Theo Benedet, who shouldn't have been starting anyway. It should have been Darnell Wright, but he's hurt. Moves him from right side to left side and throws the rookie, Ozzie Trapillo, in at right side to deal with Max Crosby. Max Crosby, Max Crosby. And he's trying a fake stumble bum, mm-hmm. which is pretty funny, and a fake flea flicker, which I don't think I've ever seen a fake flea flicker. Do you want to describe it? Because you loved this play.
I thought it was delightful Do you remember last week when the Bears hit the flea flicker? DeAndre Swift's pitch back to Caleb was awful.
It was a free throw, he said.
Yeah, to the point where Caleb had to like jump up and catch it to throw it. So on the fake flea flicker, Swift turns around and fakes the shovel back to him. And Caleb jumps in the air like, oh, this guy did it again. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. And and he kept it. And it was a 7-yard gain. But it came back because Swift, when he was trying to straight arm the guy tackling him, grabbed his face mask.
All of that before the face mask, Pat, all of that theatrics to gain 7 yards.
I love the self.
That's how bad it was. And then Swift throws it away with a face mask.
I love the self-awareness of calling a play that fakes the mistake that you made the week before. The Bears offense, Jason.
But anyway, Ben Johnson. Yeah. So Ben Johnson is digging for everything, not finding anything. And he keeps his composure too. And he takes his team into the locker room down 14-9 and having 90 yards of total offense and tells everybody, relax, relax. We have the people we need. We're going to figure this out. And things did look better in the second half. And at the end, Ben Johnson calling just so counterintuitively, so surprisingly, and surprisingly to the Raiders, I'm sure, too, to give DeAndre Swift the ball when he's got 25 yards rushing going into that last drive.
At the time, it was 12 carries for 31 yards.
And somebody had asked Ben Johnson in the postgame, why did you do that?
Right.
And he said, it's just what your gut tells you in the moment. Mm-hmm. And my gut was wrong probably all game.
Right.
So it was nice for it to work out for once.
Bears offense sucked. I think you and I would agree for the most part.
No, everyone will. There's no. I mean, Caleb Williams was saying it too. There's no way anybody in there goes into the bye week thinking everything's cool.
Right.
It's a great win, but there's a lot to fix on both sides of the ball.
But they just scored 25 points. As you and I sit here, there have been 13 games played this week. 13 teams in those 13 games scored fewer points than the Bears did. So this is about as bad as it could look, and they still managed to essentially finish with a respectable amount of points.
They got so much help. Ben Johnson was very regretful that they hadn't done more with that. The Bears got starting field position in the Raiders' part of the field 5 times, managed 1 touchdown and 3 field goals out of that. They ended up at other point. There was another point, Pat, where this wasn't one of those gifts, but they had gotten to, I think they were around the Raiders 20, and Caleb Williams throws a pass to Komet inside the 10 that Komet drops.
Yeah.
And then they end up going backward from there and punting eventually. But 4 takeaways from the defense, Kevin Byard with 2 interceptions, Tyreek Stevenson with Byard had a really acrobatic, really difficult catch too, but Tyreek Stevenson had a phenomenal interception. And I couldn't pick out of those two and the forced fumble which play was kind of the most fun to watch, because Andrew Billings just blows up a run play. Ashton Gentry up the middle.
Right.
Just Andrew Billings just dominates and blows him up. Then Noah Sewell comes in as Gentry is reeling and punches the ball loose, and then Tyree Stevenson recovers it. I mean, so many opportunities that the defense provided for them, that the offense didn't really get anything going. And one of the things Ben Johnson said after the game was, I could see where anyone on our team it'd be understandable to get frustrated. It'd be really understandable for the offense to be frustrated with itself, and it'd be really understandable for the defense to be frustrated with the offense for not doing anything with those great plays. But that there was none of that on their sideline, and I think that is, again, a test of, is Ben Johnson really going to change things beyond just being this great offensive play caller? Is he going to be the personality that they need? And Sunday he was.
You mentioned Gentry. You know, he's running he's just killing the Bears, and then it's 3rd and 1 before the field goal. And the Bears line up in a goal line defense. Kevin Byard's playing linebacker, essentially, and stuffs the run up the middle where, listen, everybody in the building knew that Gentry was going to get the ball between the tackles. But for the Bears to be able to hold there and make it a 54-yard kick instead of, I don't know, a 45-yarder, and to even be in a position where had the Raiders made the kick, they actually would have had time. That was a really, really big play. Would you like to play a game of the passer rating lies? Would you like to?
Yes.
The passer rating lies, Jason.
Oh.
Who would you rather have here? The guy who went 22 for 37 for a touchdown, a pick, and 212 yards?
Okay.
Or the guy who went 14 for 21 for 2 touchdowns, both on checkdowns to the running back, I may point out, 3 interceptions, and 117 yards.
What's his passer rating?
The same.
Ooh.
Caleb Williams pass rating 73.3. Geno Smith, who played as bad of a football game as you will see, pass rating of 73.0.
Wow.
Yeah, those touchdowns to Ashton Gentry really inflating this.
How do you Or did you have another point on that?
No, passer rating wise. That's the point.
Okay. What do you make of the Bears defense? Because 4 takeaways is incredible, and you should probably win in a blowout if you get 4 takeaways, all of which set the offense up in scoring position. But you look at some other things here, and it's giving up 7.4 yards per play to the Raiders. Ashton Jeanty was around 10 yards per carry at one. Yeah, he finished at 10.1. No, this is old. This is outdated.
No, it was seven-ish.
I'm looking at old stats.
I got you here, Jason.
Like third quarter stats.
Jeanty was 6.6. Yeah.
Okay. They gave up a lot of yards. They also offset that with takeaways. So what's the balance here? What do they total out at here going into the bye week for you?
I think they're lucky as all get out to be 2-2 with the way that this defense plays or has been playing. I would also say that going into the bye is going to do wonders, they hope, for their health.
Grady Jarrett's knee.
Grady Jarrett didn't play today. Jalen Johnson on IR. Kyler Gordon didn't play today. TJ Edwards didn't play today. Those are 5 starters, you know, and I think I counted 5.
They were missing 5 starters, but Darnell Wright and Colston Loveland were part of that. But Kyler Gordon is such a valuable piece to them and hasn't played a snap this season.
Yeah, and so I will be curious to see how they fare when those guys are back, because I think the lineup they have out here, while opportunistic, and you got to love anytime you can get your hands on the ball. I mean, Jason, there was a period in the first quarter today where going back to the end of last week or at the end of the last game, the Bears had ended 5 straight drives with a pick. That's insane. That's absolutely unbelievable. I think that they need to get better. And like I said, I think they're very fortunate to be sitting here at 2-2, the way their defense has played in 3 of those 4 games.
You know who was good again today? Go. Romo Odunze.
Oh, it's amazing.
I mean, I think that's another red flag, as if we need them, on the previous coaching staff, that Romo Odunze wasn't more prominent last season, because he sure seems like an incredible talent in the right hands. And he had, on a day when the Bears were not getting much of anything, he had 4 catches for 69 yards and a touchdown.
And 50 family members came to see him. He's a Las Vegas native.
One of the few, I think, in the NFL. I don't think there's a lot of them.
Real quick before we get out of here, Jason, not to ask a broad question. Is this about where you thought they'd be through 4 games?
No, no, maybe I can't remember how I had it, if I had them at 2-2, but I definitely didn't have them arriving at this way. And this is pretty crazy to throw away the week 1 game at the end, to get blown out by Detroit, then to turn around and blow out Matt Eberflus and the Cowboys. And nobody could have predicted the way this one ended up going against the Raiders. So, pretty wild. And I don't know really how much to extrapolate from it. I think I'm seeing a better Caleb Williams, but that might just be because all my logic going into it was that might be confirmation bias, because that's what I thought would happen with his talent and work ethic and Ben Johnson's coaching.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to find out a lot coming out of the bye week. I mean, that's a huge game against a really good team. They come out on Monday Night Football at Washington. Later on in October, November, they're playing teams like the Ravens and the Steelers. They still have their Green Bay games ahead. I think there's still going to be a lot to find out about this team. So that's kind of a non-answer, I guess. Kind of a cop-out to say, let's wait and see. I think what you see right now is Caleb Williams headed the right direction. At what angle is he rising? That's to be determined, but he is rising. And I've just got so many concerns about this defense. And everything's so interconnected. You can't play the rest of the year saying, theoretically, well, we're going to give up 35 points. I hope Caleb can get us 40. That's not really good for him, good for anybody.
Through 2 games, I told you that the result was more or less what I expected, but the way they got there was the disturbing part. And I would say through 4 games, 2-2 is about right in terms of what I thought they'd do. But kind of the way they got to that in the first 2 weeks, is concerning, and I think in the last 2 weeks is exciting. And, you know, nobody's saying the Bears are going to go win the Super Bowl because they beat a really bad Raiders team on the road. But you know this, these ugly games happen. And to be able to walk out of there with a win instead of a loss is just something that we haven't seen most Bears teams be able to do. And I think that's encouraging, especially if you believe, as I think you and I both do, that the quarterback is going to keep getting better and better.
This bye week is huge for them for this season, for the short term. They come out against Washington, which is a better team than them, obviously, right, but not so far out of their league that they don't have a chance. I don't think most people probably don't think of Washington as a championship contender
right
this year. And then home against New Orleans, that's a game you should win. At Baltimore will be really tough, but then at Cincinnati, they haven't looked very good. Home against the Giants, I mean, you have a chance if you figure some things out during the bye week as a coaching staff and as a quarterback, Caleb Williams, you have a chance to play better and kind of keep yourself afloat. One of the big things about winning this game in Vegas is you keep things afloat. You keep the season, everything is still in play at 2-2. Mm-hmm. 1-3 feels really on the brink of being lost, even this early. There's not a lot of teams that start out 1-3 and then have a good season. 2-2 makes you feel like, hey, you're at least at sea level here.
2 weeks ago, we thought they might be dead by this point, and now they're not.
They came in 0-4, yeah.
Yeah, and that is encouraging. Jason, that'll do it for from here. The Bears will have some limited availability this week because of the bye, and then they'll get back at it for the Commanders game next week. Until then, you can follow Jason and myself on social media. Check us out on the Sun-Times website. And if you live in town, go ahead and buy a paper. He's Jason. I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.